The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And today is March the 6th, the month of March. Two things happen in March that are really exciting for me. The first thing is my birthday on March 18th. I can't believe I'm going to be 77 years old. And then the next thing is it's Women's History Month, which is so exciting. Born right here in Sonoma County. Well, I'm really excited. I have three great guests with me today. Joining me on the phone is a dear friend and one of the co-founders of the National Women's History Month here in Sonoma County, Molly Murphy McGregor of the National Women's History Project. And it was founded, like I said, right here in Sonoma County. And I was really shocked that I was talking to a friend of mine who has another women's program, and she did not even know that the National Women's History Project was born right here in Sonoma County as a project from Sonoma State University in the Women's Studies Department in 1973. That's when Molly and I went to school together. I have some special guests with me. With me in the studio is one of the honorees. What happens with the Women's History Project is every year they pick a theme. And this year it's honoring trailblazing women in labor and business. And with me in the studio, it's really unusual because we have a local heroine hero here in her studio by the name of Barbara Dusty Rhodes. She's a former flight attendant who fought against the airline industry's sexist working conditions and regulations in the 1950s and 1960s. And also with me is Elaine Rock. That's right, another name, Elaine Rock, who is an author and a photographer, and she's writing the biography for Barbara Dusty Rhodes. So special to have two of these women in the studio. And then I have a special guest that's just sitting here with us. Jean, can you pronounce your last name again?
Montague.
Jean Montague, who was also a flight attendant with Dusty Rhodes, and it's really exciting to have her in the studio to be an observer. Welcome. And also a special announcement. I have a wonderful young woman in the studio with me by the name of Diane Wheeler, who is going to be helping me with Women's Spaces, and it's really exciting to have that. Well, you know, like I said, today is the month of March is Women's National History Month, and I want to give you a little background on what happened here in Sonoma County. And one of the themes that that Molly McGregor came up with, which I think is so powerful, our history is our strength. Now, why is that? Our history is our strength. Because when we find out what other people have done before us, it gives us more confidence to move forward. Well, in 1980, the National Women's History Project, and it's NWHP, was founded in Santa Rosa, California by Molly Murphy McGregor, Mary Root's daughter, who passed away recently, Maria Cuevas, Paula Hemmett, and Betty Morgan, to broadcast women's historical achievements. The NWHP started by leading a coalition that successfully, now listen to this, successfully lobbied Congress to designate March as National Women's History Month, now celebrated across the country. Today, the NWHP is known nationally as the only clearinghouse providing information and training in multicultural women's history for educators, community organizations, and parents, and anyone wanting to expand their understanding of women's contribution to United States history. Well, you know, it's very interesting. I remember when we were at Sonoma State and we were walking down the aisle, Molly and I, and she was telling me that, who are the women artists? We didn't even know at that time. And that was the beginning of the History Project. She started it with a sponsor by the name of J.J. Wilson at Sonoma State, and the rest is history. And I want to go over a little bit that every year, the National Women's History Project, they choose a theme, and this year's theme is honoring trailblazing women in labor and business. I think it's really interesting. This is a very interesting title to me because we don't realize how advanced women have become in the business world. I remember my mother, you know, when my mother got married, I remember she was telling me, she says, I got married and I thought I was going to go to work and I was going to do all these wonderful things. And I end up getting pregnant and that was the end of my career. And she says, I'm so glad you as a young woman have more choices than I do. Well, also, besides the month of March being National Women's History Month, on March 8th is Women's History Day. And this year, it's going to be a very, very interesting thing because in the spirit and of love and liberation that inspired the Women's March, women across the country are going to join by making this March 8th a day without women. Now that's pretty interesting, a day without women. So any woman who wants to take off of work or all of a sudden don't do your housework, I mean, this is the day that we're not going to do anything. We want to show the world what it'd be like if there were no women. And I got a secret to tell everybody. If there were no women, we wouldn't even be here. So, I mean, women play a very important role in our culture, in our world. I mean, let's face it, folks. We bring in the children. We bring in the future. We bring in life. And I still have to scratch my head when I think that we're still considered second-class citizens with all the work that we have done. And even today, our rights are being threatened constantly. I mean, when you hear the President of the United States say he's going to put someone on the Supreme Court to make sure that we do not have legal rights to make decisions for our own body, we better start gathering again, ladies. I mean, it is time. So March 8th is going to be a very interesting day. People are hopefully they're thinking they're going to walk off the job. They're going to do all kinds of things. And one of the things that they're suggesting is to wear red in solidarity with a day without women. You know, they're asking you to avoid shipping things, avoid shopping. Just do nothing. Just be on March 8th. Let people know what it would be like to have a world without women. Well, I'd like to do a little shout out. We went to a memorial service on Saturday for a family member by the name of Terry Morgan, who passed away quite suddenly. And I want to do a shout out to the family and just offer my condolences. It was really a shock that he is no longer with us. But the most amazing thing that I found out about Terry, you know, that little stent people put in their hearts, he actually was the one that invented that. He was part of the team that made that possible. And I think that should be acknowledged. And I wanted to send a real, my deepest, deepest condolences to the Morgan family, to his former wife, Lauren, and to his children, Lily and Jackson. You know, it was really a real shock to all of us that he's no longer with us. And I couldn't believe that at 38 years old to leave us so early in life. It's really sad. It really is. Well, on a more positive note, I want to make another announcement. You know, I am the president of the National Organization for Women here, the Sonoma County chapter, and I'm really excited to announce that on March 22nd, 2017, right here at 1700 Corby Avenue at the Carpenters Hall, we're going to have a wonderful panel. It's going to be called Women in Politics Panel Discussion with Sonoma County Board of Supervisors Susan Gorin, Linda Hopkins, and Shirley Zane. What a perfect thing to celebrate for International Women's History Month. Because today in Sonoma County, a major historic milestone happened when three female members were sworn into office, making it the first time in 166 years that the five-member body called the Board of Supervisors here in Sonoma County now has a majority of women. And you know, I'm really curious to see how that's going to work out, because rumor has it when women are kind of ruling the roost, it's a little bit different, not quite as competitive, let's put it that way, is when the males are there. And so to have three women, a majority, on the Board of Supervisors is going to be very, very interesting. Well, the event is sponsored by KBBF 89.1 FM, also by the National Organization for Women and also Women's Spaces. So I'm really excited. That's going to be Wednesday, March 22nd from 4 to 6. It's going to be right here at 1700 Corby Avenue in Santa Rosa at the Carpenters Hall. It is a free event, and it's called Women in Politics. So don't miss it, ladies. I want to see that room filled to honor these three women. And they're going to talk about women in politics. One thing that's very, very interesting about this gathering is because three of them are coming together, it could be considered a quorum. So we have to limit our discussion to women in politics, what it was like, why they running, what are some of their goals. We cannot talk about any of the agenda items. So if you show up and you see that I'm a little bit controlling, I made a deal with the county council that I would be very careful to make sure that they don't cross the line, so to speak, to speak about anything that they're not going to be talking about. Well, lots to go on. So that's, again, that's going to be Wednesday, March 22nd, going to be from 4 to 6 o'clock. Well, that's a lot to chew on, and there's a lot to be doing. And right now we're going to take a musical break. And what's really interesting, I couldn't believe it, Guy. My printer fell. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I just thought, oh my goodness, how can a printer fall? It just slipped right out of my hand when I was trying to push the paper in. And I have some very interesting music to play. I was going to play some other songs, but because of the computer falling and not being able to get the information out, I decided I would play for our first break. It's called Welcome to the Circle. And I think it's a good song for the beginning of International Women's History Month, because we all have to come to the circle. We all have to come and be together. And when I come back, I will be talking with Molly McGregor, co-founder of the National Women's History Project, and we will be talking about National Women's History Month and International Women's History Day, which is March 8th. So let's listen to Welcome to the Circle.
That feels too much to bear.
Yes, welcome to the circle as we celebrate International Women's History Month here on Women's Spaces. For you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest, Molly McGregor, who's on the phone with me. Welcome, Molly. Welcome to Women's Spaces once again.
Hi, Elaine. Happy National Women's History Week month.
I know. Okay. You know, I was just telling the folks that, you know, we went to Sonoma State together, and it's so hard to believe that it's almost over 40 years ago that this took place, you know. So I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you to Women's Spaces. And before we begin, Molly, I just want to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Molly McGregor is a former high school teacher. She taught social studies and has worked for over 35 years in the field of gender equality and women's history. Molly McGregor conducts the women's history workshops and women's historic site tours throughout the country. She also works with state and national organizations on strategies and programs to help acknowledge and recognize the historic contributions of women. Her work in the field of multicultural women's history has been widely recognized, and including awards from the National Education Association, the U.S. Department of Education, and the National Association for Multicultural Education, and the Association for Gender Equity Leadership in Education Leadership. Wow, Molly, that's a lot. Congratulations. Congratulations to you. I mean, we've come a long way, baby, since Sonoma State.
Hey, honey, you just have to live long enough and look what happens.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that says it. I'm passionate about women's history. I think that knowing women's history inspires women to have so much more self-confidence and be able to be present and in the world. And for men, I think it gives them a real advantage of knowing who women are and what we have done, and gives them a sense of deep respect for the female experience. So, yeah, I'm passionate about women's history.
Give us a little background on the National Women's History Month. Let us know, how did it begin, and what inspired you? You know, the story is so interesting about the inspiration, and also what helped you along the way? How were you able to get all this going?
Well, I was a second-year very young social studies teacher in 1972, which was, you know, one of the highlights of the women's rights movement. The Equal Rights Amendment had passed Congress. 7 states had rushed to ratify it. Title IX was being written to be enacted in 1977. Shirley Chisholm ran for president of the United States, and Barbara Jordan was elected as the first from a southern state since Reconstruction. It was just a banner year. But it was my second year of teaching, and I was just trying to survive in the classroom, you know, tried to be relevant and all of that for these young minds that I didn't want them to necessarily think like me. I wanted them to think, and I didn't do a lot of thinking in high school. So that was my goal. And one particular Friday, one of the young men in my class asked me, "What is the women's movement?" And I just told you all the things that were happening. It was 1972, right? And I looked at him, and I tried to look as intelligent as I possibly could, and I said, "What a good question. What a good question. Let's divide into groups and look at that from the perspective of the government and religion and society." And then, as if history wasn't my passion, I said, "And history, what would we say? Because the questions will determine the answers. You know, you need to ask the right questions to get the full answers. So let's say 5 questions about what is the women's movement in those different divisions of activity." I was stalling. I didn't have a clue what this kid was asking me. I rushed home to my sacred shrine of history books, and sure enough, there it was, one chapter, one book, the Seneca Falls Convention of 1848. I highlighted it all in yellow. I know I received an A on the test because I received straight A's in history. And for me, it was not only that, here I was a married woman teaching high school, being able to wear slacks to school, right? And getting a university education and had it ever occurred to me how all that was possible. You know, who had paved the way? Who had been the trailblazers in my life? And so I felt this just deep sense of unbelief that I had even begun to recognize how I got to do the things I got to do. And then, of course, the most important person in my life was my mother, and I realized that I knew very little about what her life was and her choices were. By this time, my mother was dead because I'm the youngest of nine, and my mother came of age as a flapper. She had three children before she was 21 and two more after she was 39 and four in between. My father had had...
Wait a minute, Molly. How many children did your mother have?
Nine.
Nine? Oh, my goodness.
She had nine.
Wow.
And I was the youngest, and my father had contracted tuberculosis. So they lived in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, and he had contracted tuberculosis and had been sent to California on a field railroad car, and, you know, with all these other contagious men. And my mother drove out here pregnant with four children and her mother. She learned to drive, purchased a car, and drove to California to meet up with my father. So her story is quite astounding on so many levels.
With
that many children, you know, all of it. And I never gave it a second thought.
I want to inject something here. You know, it's very interesting about mothers. I mean, it sounds, you know, all of our mothers were very disappointed that they, my mother was very disappointed that she could not be a businesswoman. You know, she got pregnant and that was it. And that was the end of any thought of career. And it was amazing when after my father passed away, how she picked up on her career. So you have this very, very interesting background. You had to answer these five questions and you found out, I remember.
I went back to class and owned it. I said, you know what, you guys, I didn't know what you're talking about, but this really says how much we have to change how we're learning. And so from then on, in every chapter of every history book, we'd ask, what did this historic event impact men and women differently? You know, was it the same for cultural groups? Did it impact black people the same way it impacted white people? So it just took the concept of what... our linear story in history was and expanded it so that we could talk about what America is and the difficulty, the challenges, and the opportunities. So that changed me, but I didn't know near enough about women's history, and that's when I came up to Sonoma State, and that's when you met me and got very involved in women's studies, and I was a volunteer for our local commission on the status of women on their education task force, and at the same time I began teaching at the community college, and women in that class, they did a project where they discovered that when they went into the elementary schools they couldn't find any more than 5 to 7 books in any of the school libraries, and the real problem was they haven't been checked out from 5 to 15 years.
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, I want to inject a little history here. I remember when we were walking down the hallways in Sonoma State, and you were talking about, you know, where's the women in art? And I remember I gave you a little slide of a woman by the name of Ray Stancliffe. And I remember when I got the slide from Ray, she says, "Oh my goodness!" She says, "You mean they're going to start recognizing women artists?" I mean, I just thought it was just great. And I also have a poster at home where we had the first art show here in Sonoma County in 1980. So talk about International Women's Day and why is that important? And why do we need to acknowledge
International Women's Day? I want to say one thing about women in art. It was J.J. Wilson and Karen Peterson, both at Sonoma State at the time, that wrote the very first book on women artists. Before then, women artists were just footnotes. But we had been celebrating International Women's Day March 8th because we were recognizing the fact that women would be working outside the home. We knew from statistics that 9 out of 10 young girls would marry, but what they didn't seem to realize is that 9 out of 10 of them would work for at least 35 years outside the home. And so our goal was to encourage these girls to take the math and science that would be necessary so that they would have jobs that could support their families as they still were living under this idea that someday my prince will come and it would be his job to do everything. And so anyway, that's why International Women's Day became so important. It was an international holiday. It celebrated women in the workforce as well as women who worked in the home. And it also showed us a multicultural perspective of women's history. And clearly we live in a country that's so pluralistic and so multicultural. It was the only way to really talk about American history.
So well, you know,
we had a very effective women's. We went to county schools. They were very receptive, and we had two very successful women's history weeks in Sonoma County. And then I took the idea to a national conference, and it was at that national conference with the support of someone like Gerda Lerner, who was renowned in the field of women's history, and several women there connected to the White House, that the following February, President Carter's office called me to tell me that he was going to issue a presidential proclamation in 1980 declaring the week of International Women's Day as Women's History Week.
Well, so you definitely prove that how one person can change the world, and how a group of women can get together. You know, and
let me tell you, there were hundreds and hundreds of people involved in getting the White House to decide that this was a good idea, and it continued to only grow. I mean, it was just astounding. In some ways, almost like the Women's March. You know, we didn't have Facebook at the time. God, I wish we had. But anyway, we didn't have Facebook at the time. But just that kind of, people were ready. They were receptive. They was like, are you kidding me that I don't know this? And my children don't know this? Let's do something about it. And that's what happened.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. One of my questions is, in your experience, what happened for women since the inception of this special day and month? And I can't help but go back to the campaign with Hillary Clinton, how they made such a big deal about her wearing pantsuits. You know, like you were saying that you were so happy to be able to go to wear pants to school, and then all of a sudden, because Hillary Clinton is running for president, she's running pants, all of a sudden they're saying, oh, she's trying to act like a man. I mean, it just doesn't stop.
It was everywhere in that campaign. The things that Hillary could say that, I mean, my God, the things that Donald Trump said, he called John McCain. You know, he wasn't interested in him because he got caught. I mean, the difference of the ways that things were heard that Hillary said, she couldn't. At times, there wasn't anything she could say. We did a book, a first woman book, because we assumed that Hillary was going to be elected president. We printed it the night of the election, and of course, that didn't happen. So we took that first woman book back. It's a really nice, perfectly bound kind of magazine, and wrote it. The first one was a tribute to her being elected. The second book is a tribute to the campaign, and the campaign of the countless other women who have run for office and been defeated. The fact that the suffrage movement, what do we have? Maybe, I'll make up a number, but I think I'm close, maybe 312 attempts to get it in different states at different times, but we still prevailed. So that's the point. The point of this new book that we did is it's called First Woman, and it's about all the women who were elected and who were the first, but also about the extraordinary work that the suffrage movement went through to be able to finally have our voice in democracy. So it's beyond disappointing that Hillary Clinton, who is probably one of the most qualified people ever to run for president of the United States, was not elected because she is a woman. But one more time, she trailblazed in a way that no one else has.
Well, talking about trailblazing, you know, we have a very, very unique show today because every year you pick a theme and honor women who have contributed to that theme. And this year it's going to be honoring trailblazing women in labor and business. Give us a very quick overview. I have one of your honorees in the studio, right. Dusty Rhodes. She's uh-huh. here. Uh-huh. And also, how do you pick? You know, how do you pick the theme, and how do you select the women?
Well, we select the theme we pick because we're really trying to focus on different aspects. Like last year it was government, this year it's women and labor. Next year it'll be peace and reconciliation. And every year we try and have a focus. Although most of the women who are honored probably could fit into any and every category. I don't want to take any of Dusty's time though, because her story is so remarkable, and I love thinking about her growing up in Akron, Ohio, you know, the home of the Wright brothers. But of course she was female, so forget about getting a pilot's license, but she just took care of that by becoming a flight attendant. But I'd really like to hear her story, have her tell her story, because boy, her life, and like so many of us, she started off in her life thinking one thing was going to happen, and oh, look all the things that she made happen.
Well, before we go into the story, and before we're going to take a before we end the segment, we're going to take a break. I want you to just announce real quickly. There's something happening in Petaluma at the Historical Museum. What day is that, and what's going to be happening? And then also your website.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be a party in Petaluma celebrating Women's History Month. It's on St. Patty's Day, March 17th, which is near and dear to my heart, with a name like Molly Murphy MacGregor, you can imagine. It's at the Petaluma Museum. Starts at 6:30. Everybody's welcome. Come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be, and the museum is at 24th Street in Petaluma. It's called the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum. Give us your website, Molly, and any last thing that you'd like to say before we end this segment.
Well, our website is www. N is in national, W is in women, H is in history, P is in project, .org. And if you're not on our mailing list, please join our mailing list. You can send me an email at nwhp@nwhp.org and just send, you know, your name and your mailing address and your email address, because that way you'll, especially now, as we move towards August, because we're going to be doing a lot of promotion around Women's Equality Day and Mother's Day and just a whole realm of things that really relate to women's history. So sign up for our mailing list. If you have specific questions, you can always call me. The number here is 707-636-2888. Not easy to get through at this time of the year, but I'm here all year round. So anyway, and Elaine, thank you for all you do to promote women's history. And Dusty, I wish I could be there to give you a big hug.
I want to tell you a little secret, Molly, that I found out, and I'm going to call you. I found out there's a major women's radio show that doesn't even know about the Women's History Project, that it even started in Sonoma County. But I will talk to you on the phone about that. Thank you so much, Molly MacGregor.
I want to say to people, if you know, ask your kids, what are they doing during Women's History Month? I mean, just as that student asked me, what is the women's movement? People aren't necessarily trying to be ignorant. They just haven't been given the opportunity to know. So let's give them the opportunity.
Well, thank you so much, Molly MacGregor, one of the co-founders of the International Women's History Project, founded right here in Sonoma County at our very wonderful university, Sonoma State University. And thank you so much for all you do. Well, I'd like you to stay on the line. You can stay on the line if you'd like. Well, we do the interview, and if there's anything, maybe a question or two that you'd like to ask, you can interject.
Okay.
Right now, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to play a very special song. It's called We Are the Women. I love this song. And then when we come back, I will be talking. I have two special guests with me, and that is, hold on a minute, I'm losing my notes here. What a morning it's been. I have to confess that I'm a little bit kind of running around in a little bit of a circle here, and I just have to calm myself down, and we're going to play We Are the Women, and when we come back, I will be talking with Barbara Dusty Rhodes, and I'm really looking forward to that. Here we go. We Are the Women.
Giving birth to tomorrow, we are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow, women who act, women who pray, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow. Women who work, women who play, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women
love that. Women whose music, women whose wisdom will light the way. That is so exciting. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Dusty Rose. Dusty, welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you. And I would like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. And I also want to bring in Elaine Rock, who is your biographer. Welcome, Elaine. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
Before we go into the interview, Dusty, is it okay if I tell my listeners just a little bit about you?
Yes, it certainly is.
And then you can fill in anything that I might have left off.
Okay.
Barbara Dusty Rhodes is a former flight attendant who fought against the airline industry's sexist working conditions and regulations in the 1950s and 60s. In 1950, at the young age of 22, she was hired as an American Airlines stewardess. Boy, that was something in the 50s, for heaven's sake.
It was glamour.
In addition to the already strict rules and regulations, being a stewardess, in 1953, her employer mandated that all newly hired stewardesses retire at the age of 32. In other words, just throw them out. That's what Donald Trump said. He says, once you're 35, you're over the hill. So, I mean, he read something like this. Anyway, presumably because they would be too old to perform their job duties by then. Since she was hired before the rule, she was retroactive exempt from it, but she was incensed by her Midwestern sense of fair play, which prompted her to selfishly fight against this and other discriminatory working standards on behalf of her colleagues. She joined her union, the conduit by which she could wage this fight, and was instrumental in rallying her union, ALSSA, the Airline Stewards and Stewardesses Association, to fight against it. She served as chair of the Los Angeles base of ALSSA. Well, we have a few more things to tell about you, Dusty. In 1977, Rhodes helped with a new independent union, the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, which remains the largest today independent union in the country. She retired at 66. At her retirement party, her union acknowledged that women in the cockpit and men in the cabin owed their jobs to Dusty. Well, congratulations. Now in her late 80s, Rhodes continues to promote the need for vigilance in protecting hard-fought employee protections that are in jeopardy today. Recognizing for igniting what was to become known as the second wave, I think that's where we're at now, the second wave of the women's rights movement. Several books on history of that movement cite her contributions, and she has been featured in many radio and TV programs. And once again, I want to welcome you to Women's Spaces. It's wonderful to have you here in Sonoma County. So welcome, Dusty. Anything else that you'd like to add?
No, thank you very much. I would like to add that wasn't only the age thing. You were fired if you got married. And can you imagine the number of women that had to get married or got married and didn't want to tell the company? You couldn't help being 32, but you didn't have to get married. So we had a lot of fake marriages, Mexican marriages and Las Vegas marriages. And they'd come to work, and they wanted to get away. They wanted to come to work.
Well, you know, it was really interesting. I remember the first time I took a flight when actually flight attendants wore pants, and I thought that was really interesting. That was probably one of the rights that later on that they earned, that they didn't have to walk around like in these little skirts. So talk about, you know, here we are in Women's History Month, and you're one of the honorees. How did it feel to all of a sudden find out that you're going to be on the poster, you're going to be honored, and you were going to be recognized for all the wonderful things you did across the country?
Well, I was very excited, of course, and Elaine has been so helpful in it. And it was just wonderful because it was such a glamorous but restricted occupation. You couldn't fly married. You couldn't fly at age 32. And they would give you girdle checks. They'd come up and snap their finger against your butt to make sure you had your girdles on. I felt like a horse having my teeth checked. It was just all kinds of things, but we were almost proud of them because it did set us apart. But the worst part was being fired at age 32 and getting married, because I felt, like many other gals did, it took 3 to 4 or 5 years to learn how to be a good stewardess or flight attendant. You had to know how to handle a woman going into labor. You knew how to handle a man having a heart attack. You had to know how to handle put the fire out in the ashtray in 18B. You had to do a lot of these things, and we had a lot of training, but experience makes the best teacher.
But, you know, I'm visualizing you at 22 years old. All of a sudden you see, you know, it says that you have this kind of, you have this Midwestern sense of fair play. You know, you're seeing all this go on. Where at 22, especially back then, where did you get the confidence to speak out? I remember one time when I was in my history class and I raised my hand and asked a question. I almost had a heart attack. You know, the minute the teacher paid me any attention, oh my goodness, I asked a question. Where did you get the courage and the tenacity to speak out against all this?
Well, I started being angry in high school. My favorite teacher, my favorite gym teacher, Betty French, was fired. Because she got married. She married a serviceman who's overseas. You know, how the hell is she going to take care of herself? And I made me madder than hell, and I thought, that's not fair. That doesn't make sense. Why? Let's fight it, and let's see. I also was in favor of union shop. Can you imagine women being in a union? Daddy didn't want his little girl to be in a union. And it was just was unfair, and I knew that we needed a union, especially in the working conditions that we lived under. So I liked the job, but I just wanted to make it better.
What made you want to become a stewardess?
Well, first I loved aviation. I was from Cleveland, not Akron, and that was the home of the National Air Races. And I was 13 years old when the war came, and I wanted to serve. And the only way I could think of is, oh, boy, those WASPs, Women's Army Service Pilots. I was going to be one of those. And then the war ended, and they all came home, and they weren't hired as pilots. They were hired as hostesses or stewardesses. And I thought, well, I guess I can see the world that way. But when I graduated from college, you could be either a teacher or a nurse or a librarian, or a secretary. And that wasn't going to get me on a safari in Africa. And so, that's what I wanted to do.
So it sounds like that at a very young age, you were thinking outside the box, and that you were very sensitive to discrimination and things like that happening around you, so you just kind of transferred it when you came
that's
on the
right,
job.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, talk about what it was like at the beginning. I mean, what kind of training did you go through? What did they tell you?
We had 4.5 weeks of very, very tough training, and we had a recurrent training of emergency procedures twice a year. And we had to learn how to put out fires with whether you use the water extinguisher, whether you use the CO2 extinguisher, where they were located on 7 or 8 different configuration airplanes. We had a lot of work to do, but it was worth it because it was a fabulous job when I could have Eleanor Roosevelt on the airplane.
Was she ever in the airplane with you?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
One of my first trips out of Washington, D.C., and I got to sit. I had her sit next to me. I said, I'm going to take care of you, lady. And then I told her, I said, you know something? My family was very anti-Roosevelt, but I now am wonderful. I'm a Democrat now, and I think you're wonderful, and so is your husband. And she said, what made you a Democrat? And I said, management.
Oh, my goodness, that is so interesting.
She roared. She said, that's it.
Well, she's definitely one of my heroes. I mean,
absolutely.
She and when you know, the thing that is so disturbing to me right now, and I'm going to say it, is that when I think of Melania Trump won't even go to the White House, I mean, that is so shameful, especially after we had Michelle Obama, who I thought was, you know, I look at Eleanor Roosevelt, and I see what she did as a first lady, and even Hillary Clinton, and all of a sudden, you know, it feels like that first lady is taken away that honor and that respect that it deserved. Well, okay, so then all of a sudden, when you found out when this rule came, you know, when the American Airlines passed a regulation mandating retirement at age 32. What was your first, talk about your response and talk about what you did to see how you could change that rule or work with that?
Well, the first thing I did was get very active in the union, because by now I knew that we had to have a union, and we had to have a strong union. And we were with the pilots union. We had to pull out from them because the pilots, hello there, we're all male, and they did not want to have to cross a picket line of stewardesses, because if we ever went on strike, they would lose money. So the biggest thing was control. cockpit control and management control, and I wanted to be my own boss. And so we joined the union and became active in it. Then we pulled out of the ALPA and went with the Transport Workers Union. And one of the things that we want to be certified, to have a license to, like a, when you go to have your hair done, the manicurist has a license. We needed a license to make sure that all airlines had the same emergency training that we had, because it's very important. It's important for me to know how to put out a fire and to know when to use the oxygen when the mask dropped down. So experience counted, and I just was, pardon the expression, pissed off by it. So we got the... pulled out. We joined the Transport Workers Union. In the very first contracts, we had a union shop, and we had membership ratification of contracts. But then I got to meet Congresswoman Martha Griffiths. She's my hero. At that time, out of 435 members of the House of Representatives, there were 12 women.
Wow.
And Martha was one of them. And she knew Robert's Rules of Order, Canon's Rules of Order. She knew parliamentary law. She was able to get the word sexual gender discrimination in the Civil Rights Bill in 1964. And it was my friendship with her that told her. She said, well, you're kidding me. I met her administrative assistant on a double date. And I'd tell her these things about being fired. And she'd say, wait a minute. Wait till I tell Martha. People didn't know that these things existed. A lot of us are ignorant about it. As Shirley Chisholm said, I have been discriminated against more because I'm a woman than because I'm black.
Well, you know, we honored, you know, for Black History Month, I honored Shirley Chisholm. It's interesting, on the last day of History Month, which was last week, and I made that quote when she said that being black was a lot easier than being a woman, which I thought was very, very interesting. But, you know, what's interesting about what you're talking about now, I see what kind of changes. So right now, when you look at the airline industry, what is it like compared to what it was back then when you started?
Well, the American public has changed so much. The airlines no longer compete with service. They compete with price. That's why you have 10,000 seats where you used to have 100. That's why you're going to have to pay to go to the toilet. It's just become a very low-class bus. In fact, there's better seats on buses now than there are on the airplanes. We're not competing with safety and service. We're competing with price. And some people want Walmart and some people want Nordstrom's.
No, it's very, very interesting. I noticed everything you have to pay for. You have to pay for the luggage, an extra piece of luggage. Well, also, one of the things Women's Spaces is all about is introducing ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And I can't help but think of you being 22 years old. Where did you get the tenacity even to do the press conferences and to speak out as much as you did?
Well, the press conferences came a little later. It wasn't until I was in 1963 that we had the press conference. And by this time, I'm 32 also. And so I felt that I was a better stewardess, as we were called then, than I was when I was first hired. And I flew with these gals that were going to lose their jobs. And these were people that were good on the airplane. It's not just a glamour job. There's a lot of safety involved in it. A lot of brains work to figure out, okay, if we have an emergency, I want to move him to the seat so I can get her the baby out first, because she's not going out without the baby. And you have to learn a lot of these things, and you only learn it by experience. And I just was, it was unfair.
Well, it also feels like, you know, sometimes you look at the quality of life today, it really feels like it's lessening. Well, let's bring Elaine Rock into the conversation. Elaine, welcome. Welcome. You're Dusty's biographer. What are some of the things that you found out that maybe you'd like to share? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I actually met Dusty at the local Sonoma County YMCA in the therapy pool one day. And she told me her story, and I immediately wanted to research her life, because I had been a history teacher in Los Angeles and specialized in dissent and reform. My mother, she was the head of civilian personnel at the Pentagon during World War II, so she was always telling me, go for whatever it is that comes your way and interests you. So that was it. I found that Dusty had been written about before in Flora Davis's Moving the Mountain and Gail Collins' When Everything Changed. And I thought, well, I need to know more about this. And no one had ever written her biography. So I interviewed her for 2 years and have about 65 hours worth of interviews and a whole lot of very interesting stories.
Well, it sounds like you followed your mother's advice to you, that, you know,
absolutely,
here you met somebody that had a good story to tell, and you're a history teacher, you understand those things, and then you went on to, you know, that is so important for women to understand. Speak out. Yeah. Ask.
Absolutely. Well, I was also an executive with Wells Fargo Bank. I just fell into the computing world when I moved up here from Los Angeles. So I had plenty of experience with a patriarchal
especially Wells Fargo
industry. Yes, and managed to get work my way up. So when I met Dusty, I thought, a lot of this is still happening. And what inspired me most of all was her lobbying work in Washington, D.C. She was appointed a lobbyist. That's how she met Martha Griffith. And
what was that like for you, Dusty, being a lobbyist?
It was wonderful. It was absolutely fabulous. And I flew from L.A. to Washington most of the time, and I'd have our two senators on, and I'd have Tom Kuchel and Senator Nolan and my congressman Cecil King, and so I lobbied on the airplane. I've had Richard Nixon on several times, and I even got a ride in his what was her name? Grace Woods, and it was fabulous. And it was a different time. They respected us. We were all mostly college graduates, and they were pretty fussy. Out of my class of 29, there were 27 of us that had just graduated from college, and so it was a different time and a different respect between us and our passengers.
Maybe that's, you know, when you start thinking about the respect between you and the passengers, and then all of a sudden seeing some of the discrimination, that probably gave you the where you just said, I had to speak out. So go ahead, continue, Elaine.
Well, when you mentioned the press conference, well, that was one of the first protest conferences in the second wave of the women's movement. She had those four stewardesses who were under the age of 32, four stewardesses who were over the age of 32, and said, "What's the difference? What's wrong with us at age 32?" And she was involved in negotiations at the time to try to overturn the age policy. So she was able to bring public attention to the issue, which helped. Go ahead.
And I came out with a statement, a Lolita I'm not, but does that make me an old bag at 32? Well, that went viral. And the next day in negotiations, they came in and they put 17 newspapers down with our negotiators, saying they would, oh, God, what is this?
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of our segment, and it's such an honor to have someone honored on the poster that actually is a local person. Go ahead, Elaine.
I just want to also point out that Dusty, on behalf of Jean Montague, who's here today, they went to the Economic Employment Opportunities Commission after the Civil Rights Act was passed, and they filed the first discrimination complaint in the United States at the morning that the agency opened.
We helped them open up the typewriters.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we could go on and on. The story is just absolutely fabulous. But this is International Women's History Month, and one quick statement, Dusty. What would you like to tell women out there listening, and also you, Elaine? What's one statement you'd like to say?
Don't let the bastards grind you down.
Well, I know that's not one of the words.
One of the things that inspired me about Dusty is she wanted to march in the women stand for Sonoma County stands for women march and rally this past January, and I asked her why did she want to do this, and she said because protesting is important to the fact of the matter is our women's rights are at risk, always have been, and it's a cyclical thing. And she's been known to say that
two steps forward.
Right. That in any revolution, it's always two steps forwards and one step back.
Well, right now, we're in the middle of stepping backwards, and
yes.
We're going to hold on to step forward.
Exactly.
And, well, ladies, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you, Barbara Dusty Rhodes, for being here on Women's Spaces, and congratulations on being one of the nominees for the International Women's History Month on the poster. I mean, I just love those posters. We have one up here. If Molly's listening, I hope she gets me one so we can hang it on KBBF to know that you were here. And to
Send me the address, Elaine. Send me the mailing address.
I'm sorry?
Send me the mailing address.
Oh, okay. And also, I want to thank from the bottom of my heart Elaine Rock for being on Women's Spaces and sharing her story. And ladies, we could go on, and I want to thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful story. And thank you so much, Dusty Rhodes, for all that you've done on behalf of women, on behalf of the stewardesses here in the United States. Well, that's it, folks, for our show. A special thank you to Molly Murphy McGregor, the International Women's co-founder, and also to Barbara Dusty Rhodes, who is one of the honorees on the poster this year, and also to Elaine Rock, who's writing Dusty's biography. Remember, folks, the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. And by our silence, remember, we give our consent. So do not be afraid to speak out. When you listen to these women, I mean, can you imagine the whole airline industry taking it on, all of a sudden getting women to have a voice? I mean, that takes a lot of, there's a Yiddish word, it's called chutzpah, to do something like that. So a special shout out to all the women who have made it possible for a woman like me to be on the air like this. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I want to let you know that the show will air again tonight at 11 o'clock on 89.1 FM. I'm really excited about that. I get to listen to my own show. And find a way somehow to celebrate Women's Month. Try, you know, March 8th is going to be Women's History Day, and, you know, it's going to be no women, no working, no nothing, just to let people know what the world would be like without the female, the women presence. I mean, it's very, very interesting. And once again, to remind you, our children are the future. And why do I say that? Well, because they are the future. They're little, they grow up, and here we are. We're part of the future right now. But our future is coming to an end. But we have to secure the future for those who are coming behind us. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. And once again, a reminder that the show will be on again at 11 o'clock. And also, if you are interested in purchasing anything for Women's History Month, all you have to do is email them at nwhp.org, and they will be happy to accommodate you. This is Elaine B. Holtz with Women's Spaces saying thank you once again for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.